And now, it's sports time. Featuring forecasts, plot synopsis, character studies, explanations, and interviews. Making sports accessible to everyone, from the diehard to the hardly interested. With your host, Ezra Fisher, it's the Dear Sports Fan Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Pitch That Game, America's favorite game show. This is how it works. I take each NFL game this weekend and describe why it might be interesting to watch. Often I have a guest on, and they tell me whether or not they're interested. This week we're going solo, so I'll be playing this game with you. You can keep notes at home and keep track of which games you're interested in and which games you aren't, and you can send me your feedback at dearsportsfan@gmail.com. Let's get started. The first game of the weekend is the New York Jets at Miami Dolphins. This game is novel just for its location and time. It's in London, and because of that, it starts at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. This makes a very civilized way to start the day if you're on the East Coast. Sit down with your breakfast and morning paper, or head out for bottomless Bloody Marys and brunch. Either way, it's kind of fun to watch football in the morning. Of course, if you're on the West Coast, this game becomes something else entirely. If you wake up at 6 a.m. to watch the Jets play the Dolphins, you've got a serious football or fantasy football or gambling problem. As for the game itself, no team this year has been more disappointing than the Dolphins. The word trickling slowly through cyberspace is that the players just don't like their coach, Joe Philbin. If the team loses this Sunday, I think Philbin might be fired by Monday. Now we get to the 1 p.m. Eastern Time games. The first one is the New York Giants at Buffalo Bills. Bills fans, and even just generally pro-Bills observers, are waiting to exhale once they get a sign that these promising Bills are different than other years. The Bills often get off to fast starts, only to wilt in October or November. This year's team seems different. They beat the Colts and Dolphins, two teams we sort of thought were going to be good, but they really haven't played that way yet this season. And their only loss was to the Patriots, who seem like they might not lose a game this year. If this version of the Bills is really good, then they'll beat the Giants, and you'll hear a lot of exhalations of relief around the country. The next game is the Carolina Panthers at Tampa Bay Buccaneers, also at 1 p.m. Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston is probably hoping his career will turn into the kind of redemption story that Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton's has. Both were maligned for having character flaws, quote-unquote, coming into the league. The difference is that euphemism was used in Cam Newton's case to refer to whether or not he and his family had been paid for his college football career. Winston's are over the likely sexual assault in his past. Different stories with, I hope, different endings. It may not make you want to watch the game, but I'm going to keep bringing it up and rooting for the Buccaneers to lose until Winston is out of the league. Our next 1 o'clock game is the Oakland Raiders at Chicago Bears. Similar to the Giants-Bills game, this game should provide that final confirmation of an up-and-coming team's legitimacy. In this case, that up-and-coming team is the Oakland Raiders. The problem with them seeking legitimacy from beating the Bears is that the Bears may actually be too bad to provide any feedback whatsoever. The Chicago Bears are such a mess this year that their general manager started trading players to other teams for future draft picks this past week. That kind of thing happens frequently in other sports, but almost never in the NFL, and especially not after only 3 weeks of the season. This puts the Raiders in an awkward position. No one's going to pat them on the back if they beat Chicago, but people are certainly going to make fun of them if they don't. Let's move now to the Kansas City Chiefs at Cincinnati Bengals. Kansas City has been enjoying a minor sports renaissance in the past few years. For the Chiefs, it started with the arrival of coach Andy Reid from Philadelphia and quarterback Alex Smith from San Francisco. That renaissance, at least for the Chiefs, might be over. Last week's loss to the Green Bay Packers had all the signs of a team that's about to cycle through a vicious cycle of blame. The way that works in football is that the quarterback usually gets blamed first, and then the coach, and then the general manager. Quarterback Alex Smith will be the first to go, and perhaps he should be. His play last week against the Packers had people scrambling to their computers to see who the team's backup quarterback was. Another clunker this week, and we might all get to know Chase Daniel, college star at Missouri and longtime New Orleans Saints backup, very, very well. The Houston Texans at Atlanta Falcons is also at 1 p.m. The plot of this game should be all about the matchup between the incredible Falcons offense and the impenetrable Texans defense. Well, those units are certainly where the star power on both sides is. Alas, the Texans defense hasn't really shown much impenetrability this year, as the team's 1-2 record reflects. It's probably safe to assume the Falcons, who have been great on offense, will score some points on the Texans. That's not all that questionable. But that pushes the pivotal element of the story over to the other side of the game, where a struggling Houston offense, that may improve with the return of their leading rusher Arian Foster from injury, face a young Falcons defense that's likely to improve as the season goes on. The Falcons hired a defensive coach away from the Seattle Seahawks this past year, and so far, he seems to be having an effect on the defense of the Falcons. They are getting better, but very, very slowly. We'll see which team's progress has gone farther, the Houston offense or Falcons defense. Two more games at 1 o'clock. A lot of games on at 1 o'clock. The Jacksonville Jaguars play at the Indianapolis Colts. This game could be the most meaningful game of the weekend. The Jaguars are a relatively new franchise, only about 20 years old, and for almost all of their existence, they've been tortured by the Indianapolis Colts. First, the Colts had Peyton Manning, a near-unbeatable quarterback, and then, as soon as he left, they got Andrew Luck, another near-unbeatable quarterback. In that time, the Jaguars have cycled through many, many, many players at that position, most of whom turned out to be eminently beatable. The Jaguars franchise, except for a brief blip in the late 90s, have been a laughingstock, an example of futility. Well, this year they have been showing signs of earning a little bit of that respect back. If the Jaguars could beat the Colts, which seems unlikely, but actually quite possible to me, it would be a potentially franchise-changing win, at least in how people regard the Jaguars. The last 1 o'clock game is the Philadelphia Eagles at Washington Redskins. This game has a variety of interesting subplots. First, Philadelphia's coach Chip Kelly and the team's press department seem to have decided this past week not to refer to the Washington Redskins by their team nickname. This is a hot-button issue because many people, including a majority of Washington's fans, I believe, think that the name is racist and should be changed. Washington's team owner disagrees and so far has refused to consider it. Second, there may be a hurricane hitting the East Coast just as this game begins. Now, football experts often warn that bad weather doesn't change a game as much as one would think, but I don't think they're talking about a hurricane when they say that. From my perspective, there is nothing better than watching football in bad weather. From your couch, at least. As for the stakes of this game, they're pretty big. These two teams are in the same division, the NFC East, and the other two teams in that division are also struggling. All four of them seem like pretty bad teams, and it seems like just going, 8-8, 8 wins and 8 losses this year might get a team into the playoffs. When you're expecting so few wins in a division, it magnifies every victory, especially one like this where a victory for you means a defeat for the other team in the division. So those are the 1 o'clock games. As always, head over to 506sports.com if you want to see which game you're getting in your area. And if you don't know how to use their website, there's a link to an explanation that I wrote about how to use their awesome website at the top of this post. So let's go to the 4 o'clock or 4:25 games. There's four of them today. The first one is the Cleveland Browns at San Diego Chargers. Look, one of the greatest fallacies in sports is that the better the teams involved, the better the game will be. It's simply not true. Sometimes you have two great teams that play each other and it's completely boring. That won't be a problem in this game. These two teams are bad. But they're interestingly bad. The Chargers have a very good quarterback in Phillip Rivers, but literally four of their starting five offensive linemen didn't practice on Friday because they're all injured. A great quarterback can be made to look pedestrian if he plays behind a bad offensive line. Rivers might just look like he's scrambling around for his life. The Browns, on the other hand, well, basically, their entire team isn't happy with their coach's decision to go with perhaps the more competent choice at quarterback, but certainly the less exciting one. The coach is going with a guy named Josh McCown, who's just sort of a boring journeyman quarterback who's been around, been on lots of teams. He's all right. But they also have this guy named Johnny Manziel on their team who is young and exciting and unpredictable. So as long as McCown is in the game, the Browns are aiming for a solid B-, which might be enough against the Chargers. But put Manziel in, and they'll either get an A or an F with basically nothing in between. If you watch this game, you don't want to root for an injury to McCown, but maybe you want to see Manziel, at least for a few plays. The second game at 4 or 4:30 is the Minnesota Vikings at Denver Broncos. The Broncos defense, one of the best, if not the best in the league, will present Vikings sophomore quarterback Teddy Bridgewater with his biggest test yet. I enjoyed watching Bridgewater in college. He has a calm, in-control way about him that's easy to root for. So I hope he passes the test with flying colors. As for the Broncos side of the ball, this is the fourth time that we'll get to see quarterback Peyton Manning play for coach Gary Kubiak. Manning has spent most of his career in charge of every element of what his team's offense is doing. That's pretty unique in today's NFL. This season, he's had to adjust to a coach who wants to do his own thing on offense, and has the support of management to make it happen. It's been totally fascinating to watch the offense evolve each week as the theoretically collaborative power struggle between coach and quarterback continues. My guess is that they'll find a happy and winning middle ground in the long run. The Green Bay Packers at San Francisco 49ers is our next game. If you want to see evidence of the great influence a coach has in the NFL, look no farther than the dramatic change in the plot of this matchup between these two teams. Just a few years ago, the 49ers were the team that frustrated the Packers like no other. They had just traveled to Lambeau Field in Green Bay and knocked the Packers out of the playoffs. I think they might have done that twice, actually. 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick was the next big thing. He was a player with limitless potential. Now the 49ers are 1-2, and people are openly wondering whether the team will bother to pick up Kaepernick's option for next season. Meanwhile, the Packers remain one of the most stable and successful teams in the league. What's the difference? Well, 49ers spent a season last season with their coach and general manager in basically open conflict, and then they lost their coach to Michigan, University of Michigan. The Packers have had the same coach, the same general manager, the same quarterback for, I think, at least a decade. There's very little doubt about the outcome of this game, but that doesn't mean none, right? The phrase, any given Sunday, comes from the NFL because even the best team against the worst team is maybe a 60-40 split, as opposed to other sports or even college football where the differences are much wider. It'll be worth watching, even just for the visual spectacle of seeing the 49ers' traditional red and gold against the Packers' even more traditional green and yellow. The last late afternoon game is the St. Louis Rams at Arizona Cardinals. Virtually no one thinks the Rams have much of a shot in this game. The Cardinals have burst out of the gate this season and look like one of the best three teams in the league. They're undefeated, and they are really tough to play at home in Arizona. The Rams, on the other hand, they've won one, they've lost two, and they're looking sort of classically shabby like the Rams generally do. I'm not going to deny any of that, but I just have this feeling that we could be missing the boat on this one. The Rams often play well in divisional games, which this is one, and no matter how bad they are or how good their divisional opponent is, it's usually really close. For evidence, we need look no farther than their Week 1 victory over the Seattle Seahawks. The Rams are also best at exploiting, but the Cardinals are worst at preventing their opponents from exploiting. The Rams have a scarily good defensive line, and the Cardinals are ever so slightly questionable on their offensive line. The Cardinals would never do this, but if I were them, I'd be tempted to pull injury-plagued and very essential quarterback Carson Palmer out of the game at the least provocation. Sunday night, 8:30 p.m. on NBC. It's the Dallas Cowboys at New Orleans Saints. This is not what the NFL schedulers had in mind when they put this game on national television. They couldn't imagine that the Cowboys would be without their best two players on offense, or that the Saints would be winless after 3 weeks. On the other hand, those losses amplify the importance of this game. it's virtually a playoff game for the Saints. And in week four, that is actually about as compelling as a scheduler could imagine. Talking about tripping backwards into success. Nice job, NFL schedulers. On Monday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the Detroit Lions play at the Seattle Seahawks. This game seems like a tough sell. It's a 0-3 team playing a 1-2 team. Ugh. Forget about the records, though, and it does have all the components needed for an exciting matchup. The Detroit Lions have one of the most fantastic offensive players in NFL history in wide receiver Calvin Johnson. 6'5" tall and as fast as a gazelle, he is a potent weapon. Standing across from him on virtually every play will be Richard Sherman, the leader of a daunting Seattle Seahawks defense, and himself one of the most smotheringly frustrating to play against defensive players in the league. That one-on-one matchup, best against best, will be worth the price of admission. Okay, I just looked at StubHub, and the cheapest seats available are around $160. So maybe it's not worth that, but it's worth turning your TV on and watching, for sure. Thanks for listening to the Dear Sports Fan podcast. You can find more podcasts and tons of writing at dearsportsfan.com. If you like what you see and hear there, please subscribe. Thanks to Jesse Fisher for the theme music. He's at jessefisher.com. Have a great day.